Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, we'll be reading verses 1 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 1 through 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.' Previously, saying, 'Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law.' Then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.' He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.' Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while becoming companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And those are the words of the Lord. And just looking here, one of the reasons why some believe that the Apostle Paul is the author of Hebrews, you find in verse 34, for you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, etc. And we see in Scripture a lot how Paul was in chains for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's one reason why some people believe that. I still do not know what I believe, though I lean towards the Apostle Paul. But here in chapter 10, of course, Paul's not the focus at all. It's here where the author to the Hebrews, to the Jews, in this sermon that is preached, works to bring low to their Jewish minds, to bring low the whole of that Levitical priesthood and sacrifices. As we read through the Gospels, we see that they had a very high view, the Jews did, of such things, of the sacrifices of the temple and the high priest and things like that. And yet, even in the book of Acts, we see that. And now that Christ had come, this is what the author is pointing them to kind of put a lower view of those sacrifices and temple and exalt Jesus Christ. And now that Christ had come, the more perfect tabernacle, the better high priest and sacrifice, those things which were shadow, the old covenant, must be brought down and the reality must be exalted. And so through verse 6, he shows that God was not desiring nor takes pleasure in the sacrifices and offerings. He desires a heart for Christ, the true sacrifice, which those sacrifices pointed to. And that's verses 7 through 18, where Christ is then exalted. Christ, who was the perfect substitute in that he did the whole will of God, obeyed perfectly, never sinning, thus able to once for all be the sacrifice for sins. And so he sat down at the right hand of God. And the only way that verse 17, our sins and lawless deeds be remembered no more, is if the Lord forgives us in Christ through his sacrifice. And therefore, since Christ is the perfect, the church is promised wonderful honors and blessings, being now in union with Christ, and calls the church, calls us to appropriate responses and duties in service to Christ. That if this is true, and that he is now the high priest after a different order, the order of Melchizedek, he's a better sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, and did so without sin, and where the priest would continually standing, continually make sacrifices, as it says here in this chapter, and that yet Christ sat down at the right hand, showing that his sacrifice was perfect and effectually did what it was supposed to do, then we are called to these things. Verse 22, we are to draw near with a true heart. Verse 23, we are to hold fast our confession of our hope without wavering. And verse 24, to stir each other up in love and good works. And then it says after that how to do that. And we are, verse 35, to not cast away our confidence. And there into those callings, then we are, at the end of the chapter, warned, as we are warned a few times throughout the book of Hebrews, falling away from Christ and the gospel. We are warned of great curses if we fail to walk in the way the Lord and the author here lays out. If we do not put on good fruit and obedience upon believing in Christ, then we will fall into the hands of the living God, which is an eternally fearful thing. And so all here come to Christ, the perfect sacrifice, with who we must come to. We must put our hearts and our trust in Him alone and follow after Him in all things and not just some things. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we give you praise in your Son Jesus Christ, who ought to be exalted and who is exalted over all, even now sitting at the right hand of you, the Father, God Almighty. We're thankful that he is our mediator and our priest and our king, that he speaks to us as prophet, all these things that we've learned in Hebrews thus far. And Father, we thank you. We're thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are not living our salvation, our justification is not based on if we keep the law or not. It's based in Christ, who's already kept the law for us. And so, Father, we give you praise in him. And may he be exalted to the highest place and continue to be exalted as he already is exalted. And Father, we give you praise that you have given us these callings to make our calling and election sure, that we heard in the call to worship, but then even in this chapter to draw near to the throne of grace, to hold fast our confession, and even to stir up one another to love and good deeds, in the many ways described there, even in the assembling together, and not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves. And that is how we encourage one another in love and good works. Father, we're thankful for what you're teaching us in the book of Hebrews and how much more you can teach us from the book of Hebrews about worship today and as in worship in Christ and union with him. Father, we do give you praise again for sparing us from the storm. We're thankful for your power and your justice, and yet thankful also for your mercy and grace. Thankful that none in our church or the Shawnee Church or the Lawrence Church were harmed in, or no property damage or anything like that in the storm. And we're thankful for this. And yet, Father, we give you praise for your power and your justice. Father, we also pray for our government and ask that you would be merciful to us through them. As your Son sits on the throne, he rules over all governments, all nations. And so, Father, we pray that you would cause them, the leaders that are over us in the civil realm, to bow the knee to you and kiss the Son. We're thankful that we have our Larry here, who works for the government, and even he, we ask that he would follow your law and obey you and his work. And yet those who are above him and way above him, Father, we ask that they would too, that even Larry would have opportunity, hopefully without threat of losing his job, to be able to tell people the gospel, the good news, and affect people in his office and people he meets. And yet often we also pray that you'll give opportunity for your church and the many other leaders that we come in contact with in the government and our local to the federal level. Father, we ask that you would cause them to obey you, to love you in all things, to bow the knee and turn to Christ alone for their salvation. But in their lawmaking and their policy making, Father, may it all be based in the principles of Holy Scripture and your law, that your church would flourish and that all false religions would be destroyed, that those who turn from you and have played the fool and even other religions, Father, we ask that such things would be brought to nothing, so that your kingdom, at the right time, your kingdom would be exalted, and the gospel would go throughout all the earth, and your church would grow to all nations. Father, even use us in that work, as small as we are and weak as we are. We ask that you would use us to show forth your grace and your strength. And Father, we ask that even for those, again, that we've heard about, that who were ministered to this past week, and those we know we've ministered to privately, Father, we ask that you would prick their hearts and call them to yourself, that they would turn to you and come into the church, to your bride, and believe on the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. Anyone can be saved, and that is Jesus Christ alone. Father, may you bring your elect in, your children. Father, we ask that you would keep us from error. You would teach us your ways. That you would be with our state, the state of Missouri, even this week, calling for the last abortion clinic to be closed in the state. We give you praise for that, and yet we see a judge has held that off. Father, we pray that you would bring a rebuke to that judge, and you would call him to stop the murder in this state. And pray the same for Kansas and the other states in our nation. They would stop the murders from happening. These innocent children, innocent as far as we see them, they're children. But we know there is original sin, and so pray for your will to be done, whatever that may be. Father, we ask that you would show mercy. As you've shown mercy to us, we pray that those we come in contact with, you'd show mercy to them. And you would give us your word to speak that you've put on our hearts. And they would hear the word and believe unto salvation. Father, we pray again for Dina and Jeannie and others who may be struggling in their body. Father, heal them for your glory. And you'll do so, we know, at the right time. Father, we know that coming up soon, that Larry will be traveling a lot and doing work out of the city. So be with him and keep him safe in his travels. Same for the Drake family on the 16th, or they'll be gone the 16th, but before that I'm sure they're traveling to visit family. We pray that you keep them safe. And Father, in all our endeavors, may we serve you in all things. And all these things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.